Your online feature will begin in just a moment. We have an internet newsletter here at BBN that we would like to send you. At bbnradio.org, click updates to find out more. bbnradio.org, click updates.
In the midst of your busy day, ladies, thanks for tuning in to Building Blocks for the Family. We're helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. The teenage years. The words can strike fear in the hearts of parents, but it doesn't have to be a dreaded time. Training through the teen years is our topic today. Francie Taylor, our guest, as she tells us, you're still on duty. Here's Francie Taylor, training through the teen years.
I read this quote recently, and it was interesting. It said this: the teen years are a period of rapid changes. Between the ages of 12 and 17, a parent ages as much as 20 years. You want to see my silvers to prove it? I just laughed so hard when I saw that because I thought, yeah, it's not about the kids. It's about the trainers. We have died through that stage. But we're in that stage when we have young people that age, and it can be done, and it's not all bad. I think so much of it is what we do with it. Now, Norman and I are always fully aware that at any moment in time we could get a call from the beautiful state of California and somebody could be on the other end of the phone telling us that one of our three children did something that we would not be happy about. So you're listening to a person who's just a teacher. As I've often said, I'm like the Pizza Hut delivery girl. I'm delivering the goods. I'm not the person who's arrived. I'm in your boat. This journey, we're on the same journey. And so I wanted you to be aware of that. We don't have three perfect kids, and that's not why I got this lesson. I have this lesson because when they give me an assignment, I just say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and I show up for duty. That's one of the things they love about me. They can boss me all over the place, and I'll teach what they say to teach. But I do know that this is one of the hardest lessons I've ever worked on. I'm too close to it. I mean, think about it. My children are 19, 20, and going to be 23. Am I out of the woods? Talk to me. That's the dumbbell years. I hate to say it such, but honest to goodness, some of your biggest mistakes can be made in that zone. In fact, to encourage me one day, one of our staff pastors walked by when Austin was brand new at college, walked by the church bookstore and said, "Hello, Mrs. Taylor. I bet Austin's out in California doing some of the dumbest things in his life. Bless God." And then he walked on. And I thought, I could throw something out the door behind you. If you weren't a man of God, my shoe would be off. And I mean, he was not helping me at all. It was so discouraging. And yet at the same time, it was very sobering because I thought, Francie, signal to pray more. One of the keys to child training from zero to wherever is prayer. Some of the young people that have gotten into their young adult years that I greatly admire, you know, one of the first things I do, I bet you can guess, I go seek out their parents. Because I want to know, what'd you do to get that? And you'll be surprised, but so many times some of the best young adults I know, their parents have some of the most humble answers. I prayed. And so whatever else you take away from this lesson, would you please make sure you pray? Because we can do this. We can train teens. We can have young people still turn out right. I know we've suffered some losses. If you go to church and you have young people, you've seen some heartache. We don't like it when that happens, do we? I get mad at the devil. Don't get mad at the young people. But boy, it makes me hate the devil passionately. When I see our kids dropping and falling like flies been sprayed with Raid, oh, that gets me. But then does it drive you home to pray? I've got some teenagers' names on my prayer list. Do you? Not just my own. Ladies, it's not just about our kids. We want everybody's kids to succeed. That means when you see something's off, please, please pray. You're seeing right. You're seeing what you're seeing. Your eyes aren't playing tricks on you. If a young man walks in on Sunday morning wearing a hoodie down to the middle of his thighs, and then sits there, you know, in the row. And then when they stand, he won't sing. And his hair is down to here and then flipped out. You're seeing something that's wrong. Something's off. That's not the signal to click the tongue. That's the signal to pray. We're losing too many of our young people, and we don't want to lose any more. What in the world are we going to do in the future without them? They are extremely important. And so I hope you'll remember, pray, pray, pray. But you know one of the reasons why we fail in the training stages of the teen years? First of all, because people think you don't have to train anymore. Big mistake. The training's not over when they reach something teen. Oh, that's when it gets deeper. That's when it gets more important. Oh boy, I had an easy time from ages 5 to 10. I mean, those were the honey butter years. When all three of my kids were under the age of 10, you just say, get in the car, get in your seat, buckle your seatbelt, we're going to the store, now we're going here, now we're going there, and yes, ma'am, mommy. And they're happy as long as you feed them, water them, and stick them in the sun. You know it's true, that's why you're laughing. It's so, isn't it easy? My friend Jennifer Palmer, who her husband lets her travel with me sometimes, her little boy Isaac came to my house one time, and he was all excited because he was going to do yard work. And when he finished his job, which was to dig a garden bed for me in the backyard, then his mom gave him permission for the ultimate. You can go play now, Isaac. That boy was gone off into the woodsy area of the yard and came back up all with brambles and dirt and everything on him, happy as a lark. Try pleasing a teenager with yard work. I double, triple dog dare ya. They aren't going to come back smiling, and you know it. In fact, you might have to put a 20 in their pocket just to get that yard cleared. But it's amazing how things change so rapidly, because those younger years, those single-digit years, they really can be very, very fun. Ups and downs, yes, but small ones. They get more meteoric. You know, they get to be more, this is an earthquake, you know, when they're older. And there's a reason for that, too. There's all kinds of things going on in that young person developmentally. I think we need more compassion for the job. We need more prayer for the job. And then we need to be sure, the second thing that causes failure is no goals. We need to be sure of what we're doing and why we're doing it. Do you know what you want for your young person? If you know what you want, does it line up with Scripture? I think some of our goals need to fall by the wayside because we're getting too extra biblical with our teens. We're making requirements that don't have scriptural legs to stand on, and they're getting angry. We need to be careful about that, because our personal preference isn't going to make or break our kids. But if they're not learning how to walk with God, that will make or break them. So we need to be sure that our goals line up with Scripture. Ladies, in that case, a lot of times it'll simplify your training. All right, ladies, turning your Bibles to 3 John 1:4, even though most of you know it by heart. I got scared one day when a lady asked me, and I told her, boy, 3 John 1:4 is one of my favorite verses for in relationship to children. And she said, how many chapters are in the book of 3 John? I thought, I hate to tell you, but one. So that told me she hadn't been in 3 John before. But it's only, you're not going to have any trouble finding this. 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And that's really what oils my chassis, or whatever you want to say. That rings all my bells. That floats my boat big time, to hear that my children walk in truth. I was in New Hampshire last month, and they pulled a really good one on me. I didn't even know these people. It was my first time there. And they said, we've got a surprise for you, Mrs. Taylor. And I thought right away, uh-oh. I'm not big into surprises. I mean, even a surprise birthday party, I'd rather just know what's going on. Is anybody else like me? No thank you on the surprises. Because you never know for sure if you're going to like it or not. And then if you don't like it, don't you have to fake it? Oh. And so I was nervous, and I'm sitting right on the front row and starting to feel the sweat beads form at my hairline. What kind of surprise are these total strangers going to do to me? All of a sudden, through the sound system, I heard the sound of my oldest son's voice. And I thought, oh, see, this is why I don't like surprises, because do you know what I wanted to do? And they wanted me to be happy. You all understood that I wanted to cry. You immediately understood what I felt. But they were thinking, aren't aren't you glad we had your son here and we taped him just for you? And I got up to the microphone, it was time to teach. I said, I'm not sure what to say, but I wish I could see Austin sometime. And I'm thinking, they're realizing now, oh, opposite effect. Don't play any more CDs for her because it didn't help her at all. Got her all weepy and all teary. But I really was amazed as I listened to his voice. I thought, when did he get that old? Who is that man? And what does he look like now? Because it's been a while since I've seen him. But the Lord has Austin's heart, and I have no greater joy. I don't care what you give me for Mother's Day, but give me that. I was thrilled to the depths of my soul. And then I realized, oh, okay, then you sure better be praying, because anybody who the Lord gets a hold of, the enemy wants to shoot at. Do you really honestly think he spends a lot of time on the guy in the hoodie? He's already got him in rebellion. But he loves, his favorite Scooby snack are the ones that are walking right. He wants to pick them off. And we have to understand as mothers that just like King Lemuel's mom, Solomon's mom, was warning him of the dangers, we have to get that way with our young people. It's a different stage of training. It's a different kind of training. There are more sober talks involved. Now, you do still mingle it with fun. You must. But there's more sober things. That's why I said the training's not done. We have stuff we cover now that we would not touch at 5 or 10. And that's what we're going to talk about. So number one, did I read that text? I did read that. I have no greater joy, right? Okay, because I'm a little 51. Number one, make it easy to live right within your home. And I did put the text on your worksheet for you to look up later on, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it where it says in Psalm 101 verses 2 through 3, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Make it easy to live right within your home. The older your young people get, the more garbage they have to face out there already. How dare we not give them a pure place to come home to? We must help them in this arena. We owe it to them. They can't have an easy time at home if we're making the home another just extension of impurity camp. There's some important to-dos that I want you to list. A first thing on your to-do list, limit and monitor computer access. Now, I talked about this a little bit yesterday in the construction materials for the Christian home, but with the young person in particular, I must plead with you, ladies. Limit access to the computer. Some of the most innocent, sweet, pure, wonderful young people are being hurt by the computer. Let's just take MySpace, for example. Foul space. Let's talk about Facebook while we're at it. From outer space book. That's a dangerous tool. I know some people use it for clean reasons, but it's not as innocent as a blow dryer. You know what I mean? There are some appliances you can't do anything wrong with them. But the computer is not one of those kind of appliances. It is a power tool that, left unchecked, can do great harm. I would highly recommend that parents not have their children use these social network sites. Now, no charge. I gave you the chapter and verses when I said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's what I'm standing on. But you don't have to follow this. I'm going to tell you what we did. And I'm going to also tell you, it worked. I'm convinced that you can never be too pure. You aren't going to die and get to heaven and say, well, my home was just so too holy. I'm sorry I did that, Lord. I was trying. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen is we're going to get to heaven and hang our heads in shame over the things we dropped the ball on. Please, please reconsider if you've been allowing your people to go to these pages, because I am counseling young people who have accidentally ended up in trouble as a result of these kind of things. A young lady that comes from salt of the earth
rock-solid family. They, I mean, are down the line right on it. People. They set up a coffee date between me and their daughter, and their daughter's real fond of me, and so it was not a problem. She wasn't feeling like she was sent to the principal's office. In fact, she came to me and said, my parents said it'd be okay if I talked to you. Are you busy? And I thought, I'm not busy now. You know what? If parents send their young person to talk to you because they know there's a bond, drop everything. Make it work. It just so happened I was going to be flying out in a day. I didn't care what time we met. I said, name the time, any time but the time I have to be on the plane. And we met at a coffee shop, and she could hardly talk for crying. Do you know what happens on those places? People talk to your young people, and they're total strangers. And do you know what they do? They gradually build a relationship with them over the internet and draw information out of them. And do you know what they then do? They start saying things to your kids, subtle things. For example, the man saying, it's okay for me to talk with you because we're not even in the same room. Oh, six conversations later, I happen to be married, but it's okay because my wife doesn't mind if I'm on here. Now, by then, this man has already built a relationship, right? So now you've got a trust thing going on, and then he drops the bomb he's married, but he tries to keep up the conversation with a single teenage girl. The next thing that happens after that is they try to arrange a meeting. You see how scary this is getting? Why would we allow this? Beg your friends to stop it. I said we're losing too many of our young people. Plead with your friends, don't do this. Who's going to be the ambulance driver for this many bodies at the bottom of the cliff? Let's stop throwing our kids off a cliff to the devil by way of technology. I plead with you to the point of almost tears. This is madness. Let's stop it. Another thing on the to-do list, have well-established viewing standards for TV and music. And you know, I don't care what the other families are doing. Your kids will go to somebody else's house and they'll come home and they'll carry the tail in the bucket, the old same, well, it's the so-and-so's house, we got to watch, what you know. But no, all that is information for you to know that next time the so-and-so's kids need to come to your house, if you like them that much. But you do not have to bend and bow your standards to somebody else's. Do not try to line yourself up with somebody else's family. Line yourself up with Scripture. Look at your family. Say your last name and say the Taylor family has to live according to thus saith the Lord. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Oh man, did my kids hear that a lot. We're going to do what God wants us to do. I know. Your friends get to go to the movies. I know they get to watch this. I know you're the odd man out. You can't name the latest actor. But one day you're going to be fine. And guess what? They're fine now. They tell us stuff. And we sit and listen, and we think, yeah, we told you you'd be fine. They're amazed at the damage that comes out of that later. Because once you desensitize yourself to wickedness and sin and evil, you do lower your standards. Sorry, ladies, but high is high and low is low. And when I'm in an airplane, I want the pilot to take the plane high if we're going to fly. So when people try to act like there's no high and low, They're deceiving themselves. There's high standards, there's low standards. Keep your standards high on these TV and media things. Why allow the secular media into your home when the role models are warped anyway? If you don't want those kind of people as friends for your kids, don't allow them in the door electronically either. And finally, line up your living with the preaching or expect to do battle with your kids. Now here's a problem area that's entirely parent related. If you agree with the preaching, live it. If you disagree with the preaching, do you need another church? Do you know there's more consistent outcome in taking your children down a notch where you will obey than staying and disobeying? Now, that isn't a license I just wrote for you ladies to go quit your church tomorrow because you don't want to obey. I'm just warning you that you're headed for danger if you won't obey the preaching. Disobedience in a good home church is going to breed rebellion. We have got to get our walk right. Do your young people see the fear of the Lord in you? If not, make changes until they do. Number two, teach the importance of being a good listener. I bet you all knew what that blank was. I bet you could have filled that in without me helping you. But we need to teach the importance of being a good listener. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." They're not going to be teenagers forever. If they'll hear now and if they'll receive now, later, they're going to be wise. And so we have to teach them how valuable this is. Sometimes kids won't do something because they don't know the value of the prize. Increase the value of this prize in their eyes. We need to be a little bit more slow down and explain on some of these things. That takes time. We should not be so busy that we don't have time to teach. Item by item, line by line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Deuteronomy 6, go and study it sometime. Make a note of that in your notes. Deuteronomy 6 gives us instructions on how we're supposed to be teaching when we're lying down, when we're walking, when we're sitting. I mean, it's telling us, you ladies and dads too, but I'm only talking to the ladies, we're on duty 24/7. We need to stay on duty and teach. Do not get so wrapped up in your personal job that you're not doing the home front, which is still very important during those teen years. It's so tempting to look at them and think that just because they can drive and they have a little bank account and a little bitty job, that we don't have to say much anymore. That's delusional. That's the time they need way more help. Did you say car keys? Shiver a little. And did you say your car? Shiver a lot. I think it was Irma Bombeck who said, never loan your car to anybody you gave birth to. And I thought, that's not bad advice, especially if you see how they drive it. I always feel like my car feels looser after one of my kids has had it. Like, what'd you do to it? Do you ever, is anybody else like that? Like, you floored this. It's not working right now. I'm sure I'm imagining it, but it just is me. But really, we need to be really realistic about this. If they have that much freedom, they need that much more training. Otherwise, they could go off course very easily. But teach them the importance of being a good listener. Here's a few things to do in this area. First of all, warn your children about the danger of having to be told repeatedly. Now, ladies, that's a bad listener. You take them to Proverbs 29:1, and you warn them that if you have to keep telling them the same thing again and again, that it's an indication that they've hardened their neck. And the Bible's clear that if you harden your neck, you're going to be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. We don't want them to get to a point where they've done something that can't be undone. But if they get stiff-necked about it, that's what can happen. That's why we need to slow down so that we can explain concepts like this and not with one leg running out the door. And not always with your voice in the stern mode either. Ladies, I think we need to moderate our voices when we're talking with these older young people. Treat them a bit more like the grown-ups that they are. Don't always be like with their finger telling them what they should not do. Sometimes you talk to them as you're rapidly approaching my stage. And out of respect for that, I want to help you. You get a little bit more in their zone and tone yourself down a bit. Otherwise, what happens is they wall up on you. And then they'll either fog out what you're saying or just shut off what you're saying. No, we need to get a two-way thing going here. And it cannot always be that we are finger in the face rebuking. Also write this down, or if you're taking notes, make a note to be available. You know why? If you're always unavailable, you're always too busy, after a while they train themselves not to talk to you. And they will find a substitute, and it may be an unsuitable one. Peers, for example, are not the best counselors. Oh, come here, my blind friend. I need help, and I want to go in the ditch together. Yeah. They don't know. Their friends don't know any more than they do, maybe an inch more. But they are not going to help them like you could. If you have the I'm not available sign up, they aren't going to ask you. But if you make sure your young person knows I'm yours, then they are going to talk to you. There are things that happen in their lives that shouldn't be swept under the rug or left undiscussed. And you need to be sure that you're available for those times when you're going to need to talk about some tough stuff. For example, I'm opposed to pretending somebody didn't get kicked out of the school when they got kicked out of the school. It's just a for instance. We always talked about meltdown things in our home because we didn't want our kids wondering, why does everybody always clam up when something's wrong? What am I supposed to do? And what are they supposed to do, ladies, if we don't talk and teach? It's a teachable moment, as they call it. It's an opportunity to explain what went wrong according to Scripture. What was violated? And then talk about the consequence. Was it worth it? 100% of the time, it's not worth it. And the more expensive the consequences, I think the better it is. Because if you really want to have a deterrent to repeat sin, make it expensive. Let's just not waste time, huh? When we don't make it expensive to sin, then why not sin again? Who wouldn't? But our young people need us to talk about this. Ladies, don't be a clam. So-and-so got kicked out of the Christian school, and you know exactly what happened. I'm not advising you to gossip. I'm asking you to teach. Go teach your young people what went wrong and why. And even if you might find out something that I found out a couple of times, there are some times when your kids are at home stewing over it thinking, I think those consequences were too severe. If you're not going to talk about it, you're leaving them to try to figure it out on their own. And they will not be able to accurately figure it out on their own. They need a guide. Be the guide, please. And on that final note, in being a good listener, please teach your young ladies. Mothers, please, please teach your daughters to listen to you about what they wear. Would you? Keep working with them on it. Don't give up. And there'll be ups and downs, and you'll have some unpleasant moments. Do you think I never had a tough time with Hillary Arlene Taylor? I'll get permission from her before I tell you some of the hair raisers. But we had some go-rounds. Don't think we didn't. We had our moments. And they would give me a headache. But we had to get through it, and I had to be the parent. And now, it's a non-issue. She has lovely dress standards. She corrected me once at a conference and said, Mom, I think you need a pin there. Well, then help me pin it. I loved it. It was a precious moment. I loved it. And guess what? Not everybody's immodest on purpose. I didn't notice. Have you ever absentmindedly not noticed something? I was so grateful for her observation. Real good reason to travel with someone. Because then you don't walk out undressed. But while you're teaching your young ladies not to be tempting with their clothing, likewise, teach your young men not to look. Now, I'm talking about training teenagers. It's part of the training to teach your young men not to look. And they may say, but Mom, and you can say, but you can guard your eyes. Scripturally speaking, it's true they can. And teach them to pray for extra temperance to be able to guard their eyes. Tell them to give their eye gates to God in the first place so that they won't look on a woman to lust after her in their heart. That is adultery training. We must teach that that's wrong. Ladies, don't accept that. Let's teach. Let's be good teachers. Teens learn how to listen when they're younger if we'll work on it. And then they're better listeners in their 20s. But if we don't work on it, they're going to be poor listeners at an older age.
Francie Taylor, Training Through the Teen Years. More next time here on BBN. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network, helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. For more information on getting a copy of today's broadcast, you can visit us at bbnradio.org. Go to the program schedule and then click on Building Blocks for the Family. bbnradio.org.
That concludes your online feature. Now to listen to continuous BBN programming, click Listen Live at bbnradio.org.